Hey there, before we get into the episode, I want to share with you something that I have coming up that is going to help you enjoy the wedding day. I don't mean to be dramatic, but one of the most important components to a successful wedding day is having a realistic timeline in place. You've probably been to a wedding, or maybe even been in the wedding party, on a day where everything was running behind from the very beginning. Or worse yet, you got up at 5 a.m. for hair and makeup just to sit around for hours waiting for everything to get started. So many wedding nightmares are all based around a failed timeline, so it's no surprise that couples struggle with creating this timeline. It can feel so daunting and overwhelming that it's just easier to put it off. How are you supposed to know where to even begin anyway? You've never done this before. Well, don't worry, because I have over 400 weddings under my belt, and I know how to create that oh-so-perfect balance in your timeline so that you're not missing out on any important moments because you were so rushed. On April 2nd, I'm hosting a free workshop to create your wedding day timeline, and I would love for you to join. We'll start with going over the main questions that you need to answer before creating your timeline. And then I'll walk you through the exact timeline process that I've perfected over the last 20 years. I'll also be able to answer your specific questions live so we can discuss any unique details for your timeline and answer any questions you might have. It's all happening on Zoom at 6 p.m. on April 2nd, and I hope you can make it. We can even review your existing timeline for any updates or changes that I might recommend. You can register for free at planningcollective.com/timeline. Now, let's get back to the show. Hi there, I'm Kate McClellan, and I've been a professional wedding planner for 20 years now. I started Planning Collective when I noticed that though most couples are super excited about being engaged, they quickly feel overwhelmed and intimidated by the actual process of planning a wedding. If left unchecked, this can lead to massive burnout and the urge to scrap all your plans and just elope. While this is totally normal, you don't have to sacrifice your sanity for your dream wedding. In the Planning Collective podcast, I'm going to share the processes, tips, and tools that engaged couples like you need to feel confident, supported, and excited about your wedding plans again. Let's get started. Hey guys, Kate here. Welcome back to another episode of the Wedding Planning Collective podcast. Today's episode is an important one. We're going to talk about the top 7 mistakes that couples often make while creating their wedding day timeline. There's actually quite a few more than 7 sprinkled in, but let's go ahead and get started. We're starting right off with the most common mistake, and that's not adding in any or enough buffer time throughout the day, essentially expecting things to run perfectly on schedule. This is something that I stress to my couples. It doesn't matter how much time or money you put into the wedding day and timeline, unexpected things will pop up. And if you don't account for the unexpected, it can have a real domino effect when it comes to your timeline. I know this sounds a bit backwards, right? As a wedding planner with 20 years of experience, shouldn't I be able to plan things down to the minute? And the truthful answer to that is actually no. While you spend countless hours planning your wedding day, it's still a regular day to the majority of the world, which means you're vulnerable to all of the variables that come with daily life. As much as we strive to create the perfect timeline prior to the wedding day, a huge component of timeline creation is adding in that buffer time throughout the day to make sure that we're actually not scheduling things down to the minute. If things are too tight, one 5 to 10 minute delay can really derail the entire day. Now, you're probably thinking something like, that sounds great, but how the hell am I supposed to figure out where and when to add in the buffer time? And it's actually much easier than you might think. When we're talking about the wedding day timeline, buffer time is not something that I'm going to list out in the timeline, but rather build into the flow of the day in various points. I do this by slightly overestimating how long things will take, which actually leads us into the second mistake couples make, and that's underestimating how long things will take throughout the day. Don't worry, this will all circle back to how to create the perfect amount of buffer time in just a minute. Just like not having any buffer time in your schedule for the unexpected things popping up, underestimating how long certain things will take can really throw off your timeline. The most common culprits are getting dressed, transportation time, family photos, and the toasts. Let's talk about each one of these real quick. When I see couples' first draft of their timeline, they usually have 5 to 10 minutes down for getting dressed. Now, for the guys, this may be realistic, but definitely still tight. For the ladies, I typically recommend 45 to 60 minutes for the getting dressed process, and it all ties back to adding in that buffer time. Is it going to take you 45 to 60 minutes to actually put on your dress? Probably not, unless it's very complicated with lots of hooks and accessories and all of that. However, from the moment you say, it's time to get dressed, to when you actually walk out the door, it will likely be about 45 to 60 minutes. There are usually multiple last trips to the bathroom, undergarment adjusting, photos of mom or your girls helping you get dressed, putting on your shoes and your jewelry, hair and makeup touch-ups, and adding in hair pieces or a veil, and any first looks with your parents or your wedding party. All of that's going to happen in that quote-unquote getting dressed time. I'm not going to itemize each of these things down to the minute on the timeline because that's simply not realistic that you're going to stick to your scheduled bathroom times or predict perfectly at what 3 minutes it's going to take you to put your veil in. Instead, I'm going to slightly overestimate how long this process will take, which in turn gives us this buffer time for other things that may pop up. That way, if you're scheduled to get dressed at 1 p.m., but hair and makeup isn't done until 1:10, we know we have a bit of buffer time already built in there. Transportation is another area where couples commonly underestimate things when it comes to timing. Most commonly, couples will take a look at how long GPS tells them the time is going to take from one venue to the next, and that's what they put in the timeline. However, there are a few things that I see make this inaccurate pretty much right from the start. The first is not accounting for packing up or the transition time. If you have leave the hotel at 2 p.m. in your timeline, does that mean leave your hotel room or actually on the shuttle bus pulling away from the hotel at 2 o'clock? Again, I don't expect you to be down to the minute with these things, but if you just allow for the exact amount of time it takes to physically drive from one venue to the next, you're not accounting for the time that it takes everyone to get out the door, wait for the elevator, load everyone up in the vehicle, and wait while somebody runs back for something that was inevitably forgotten in the room. If you plan to leave the hotel room at 2 p.m., the shuttle will likely pull away around 2:10 or 2:15, which would be a more realistic time for you to put down in the timeline. It might not sound like a big deal, but it leads into the second transportation timing error, and that's not scheduling enough time in between trips. If you have one vehicle that will be making multiple trips, especially for the wedding party, make sure to be realistic with the timing in between. In the example we just discussed, it's common to see the initial timeline say something like 2 p.m., shuttle takes the bride and bridesmaids from the hotel to the venue and returns for the guys, 2:15, shuttle takes the groom and the groomsmen from the hotel to the venue. However, in the likely scenario that we discussed, if the ladies don't actually leave until closer to 2:15, we're already running late for the guys, and you might have an accidental first look in the hotel lobby. This could then further derail the shuttle schedule for either guest transportation or for the wedding party photos. Make sure that you're adding 5 to 10 minutes of buffer time for each trip to account for the loading and unloading process between trips. And the final transportation error I see is not recognizing that limos, shuttles, or other rented transportation is typically going to go slower than the normal flow of traffic. Just because you got from the hotel to the venue in your car in 7 minutes doesn't mean the party bus will be able to do the same for a number of reasons. Large vehicles naturally go slower, but they may need to take a different route or load or unload in a different area depending on your venue details. Let's move on to family photos. And I'm not going to get into this too much. That's a whole nother episode. But the main point is they typically take much more time than you anticipate, especially if you have a large family. Chat with your photographer about the size of your family photo list, and they should be able to help you determine how much time this will take. And you can get the family photo list that's a part of the pre-wedding worksheets download at planningcollective.com/free guides. And the final category that couples often underestimate is the toasts or speeches at the wedding. They're typically the biggest wild card that we have, as once the mic is given to your parents or your wedding party, it is out of our control. I recommend having 3 to 4 people give toasts, including your parents and wedding party, and I always recommend 2 to 3 minutes per person, as that's really what the max attention span your guests will have for each toast. However, if you know that your dad or your maid of honor will absolutely not stick to that 2 to 3 minute time frame, it's better to be realistic about it in your timeline so that the dinners you've spent the majority of your budget on aren't getting cold in the back. Quick tip, this is something to remind your dad of if you're worried he's going to be long-winded on the wedding day. A simple reminder that the longer he talks, the colder dinner gets, usually helps keep things quick. So again, remember to slightly overestimate how long these things might take, and that's what will help give you the buffer time on the wedding day itself. Okay, the third mistake I see couples make with their wedding day timeline is not taking any formal photos before the ceremony, especially if the ceremony and reception are in the same location. I'm not going to get into the first look debate here. You can get my thoughts on that in episode 88. However, regardless of whether you're doing a first look or not, I highly recommend taking as many of the formal photos, meaning the posed photos with your family and your wedding party, before the ceremony. If your ceremony goes right into cocktail hour for the guests, this is the only time that you'll have to take pictures. And that 45 to 60 minutes is going to fly by. You'll also likely have to sign the marriage license during this time, which will take about 10 to 15 minutes on its own. Unless you have several hours between the ceremony and cocktail hour, I recommend getting as many formal pictures out of the way ahead of time as possible, leaving you more time to enjoy the reception. The fourth mistake is not taking external factors into consideration with the flow of your day. This is obviously going to be different for each wedding, but to the best of your ability, try to think of any outside factors that might have an impact on your day or timeline. For example, if you want to take sunset photos, or if a portion of your event will be outside, make sure to look at what time the sun will be setting on the day of your wedding. For weekday weddings or rehearsals, make sure you consider rush hour traffic delays and see if there are any major events that might impact traffic. Many guests look at your ceremony start time as the time they need to arrive. So if your venue requires them to park further away and then walk to the ceremony location, or maybe it's tricky to find, plan on starting 10 to 15 minutes after the stated time on your invite. So it gives people plenty of time to park and find their way to the ceremony. And finally, keep hotel check-in times in mind for the wedding party and getting ready, as this may require that you reserve the room the night before to guarantee you have access early enough on the wedding day. There are obviously many more potential external factors, but doing a quick run-through in your mind prior to the wedding day may help you think of some that we didn't talk about. I talk about this run-through approach more in episode 62, 10 Tips for a Stress-Free Wedding Day, so make sure to check that out. All right, our last few mistakes are pretty straightforward. Number 5 is not communicating the timeline with the wedding party and family. This one might sound silly, but you may be surprised how many couples don't think to share the wedding day or weekend timeline with the wedding party. I recommend that you give them a general timeline a couple of months before with the main events that they will be expected to be at. A few weeks before the wedding, share the more detailed timeline with everyone, and make sure to include the addresses for where they'll need to be and a day of contact number in case they need to reach someone for questions or issues. Number 6 is not scheduling any alone time for just the two of you. It's easy to think that just because you'll be spending the majority of the day with your new spouse, that this won't be necessary. However, you will absolutely be bombarded by loved ones wanting to share in their excitement with you, which is amazing. But it also makes it important to set aside a few moments throughout the day for just the two of you to take a quick breath together. Just after the first look is a perfect time for this. Many couples are now choosing to take some time to share private vows at this time too, which I think is amazing. Immediately following the ceremony, before the guests are allowed to enter the reception room, and after the dance floor has opened are other great times to take a couple of quick moments to just check in with each other and really soak everything in. This doesn't need to be something that you formally put in the timeline if you think you'll remember. However, sometimes adding it into the timeline can ensure that your photographer or other people may give you a little reminder like, hey, go take a quick breath, just the two of you. And the final mistake shouldn't be a shock to anyone, but it is not having a planner or at least a day of coordinator to keep things on track. Not only will this person help talk you through the timeline in the couple of months before the wedding, but it's also important to have one person that's in charge of keeping everything flowing for the day. And you do not want that to be you or likely your parents or wedding party. Something always goes off plan on the wedding day. Think back to mistake number one. And a professional planner is going to be able to make the necessary adjustments before you even notice. Most of the times when we have to make these adjustments, it's something super small, but not anything that our couples want to deal with. If you have a planner with your venue, make sure to ask if this is something that they're able to manage for you, as some don't get involved in the timing outside of the reception details. There you have it, the top 7 wedding timeline mistakes that I see couples make. So where are you in your timeline making process? Head on over to the Wedding Planning Collective Facebook group and let me know what questions you have. And if you found this episode helpful, I would love it if you could take a quick second to rate and review. It would mean the world to me, and it will help other couples get the wedding planning help they need. Thank you so much, and I'll see you in the next episode.